belong, become, believe. You're listening to Grace Church of Northwest Arkansas podcast. The message from March 10th, 2024 is called No Mo FOMO. The speaker is John Ray and the location is Central United Methodist Chapel in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
All right. Hey, everybody. It's good to see y'all. Again, for those of you listening on the podcast or checking in on Facebook audio, my name is John Ray. This is Grace Church of Northwest Arkansas. And I feel like they have a room here where they have all the AA steps for Alcoholics Anonymous AA, the 12 steps up there. It's a kid's room. Yeah. Hi, my name is John. Well, so hi, my name is John. I am a coffee snob. yes. And I am. I admit it. I'm a terrible coffee snob. The older I get, the more I prioritize. It is a significant priority to me to where am I going to be and can I have my choice cup of morning brew in the morning. And this is the result of something I call the Starbucks curse. So the Starbucks curse is like this. So I grew up, probably Alex, you did too, you know, Bennigan's and steak and ale. You know, you had the boilerplate coffee. You had the corporate coffee that you made a big batch, sat on the boilerplate, and you just drank it because that's what everybody drank. And it took a lot of sugar to get that swill down. Yeah, oh yeah, and the pot sugar is just... Right? But that was coffee. I mean, there was just coffee. There wasn't any variation of that. And then Starbucks. And you're like, oh my gosh. There's this whole world of flavors and origins and coffees and ways to do this. And you're just like, this is incredible. And all of a sudden you realize that what you were drinking actually was just petroleum. I mean, it was just awful, right? And so you're drinking your Starbucks, and then you come along, and then you go, oh, I'll try this little local place out called Arcega's. And then you're like, oh, no. Like, this is coffee. Like, this is done great, right? And then, of course, inevitably, you end up at Onyx. And then you're just like, oh, one more thing, right? Because it just destroys all the other experiences for you. Well, this has also led to something in our society that we call FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. It's like there's always got to be something better out there. And if I settle on one thing, then I'm giving up this possibility of something even better out there. Well, I think our text has something to say to that today. So hang with me on this. So we're in Hebrews. We're studying Hebrews. Alex already brought up one of the things it emphasizes is the Christological hermeneutic, which means we understand God through the person of Jesus. That Jesus interprets the Bible for us with that, and our experience and our expectation of what it is. Hebrews, again, is a sermon, but written mainly for an emotional import rather than like an academic import. And we did this when Josie sang Landslide, and we talked about the emotional significance of the allusions and a lot of the references that are used here. It's not building as much an academic case as an emotional case for why people should hang on. This was written to a church that was facing persecution. They were facing questions. They were facing a large number or a significant number of their population. Really saying, have we made the right choice to follow Jesus? Is this really the best? So we get to Hebrews 3 today. So we're going to read starting at verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, partners in a heavenly calling, take note of Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess, who is faithful to the one who has appointed him, as Moses was also in God's house. For he has come to deserve greater glory than Moses, just as the builder of a house deserves greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house to be a servant, to testify to the things that would be spoken, But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. We are all of his house. In fact, we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope we take pride in. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, oh, that today you would listen as he speaks. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of testing in the wilderness. There your fathers tested me and tried me, for they saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I became provoked at that generation and said, their hearts are always wandering and they have not known my ways. As I swore in my anger, they will never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has an evil, unbelieving heart that forsakes the living God. But exhort one another each day, as long as it is called today, that none of you become hardened by sin's deception. For we have become partners with Christ. Excuse me. In fact, if we hold our initial confidence firm until the end, as it says, oh, that today you would listen as he speaks, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For which ones heard and rebelled? Was it not all who came out of Egypt under Moses' leadership? And again, against whom was God provoked for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, those whose dead bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would never enter his rest except those who were disobedient? So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. Now, there's a lot packed in. But again, this is an appeal that is made to Rolf. It's a one-piece appeal. It's meant to the little bits add up over time with this. And the idea is that here's the people. First of all, it puts Jesus on top. Moses was a builder in the house, but Jesus is over the house. The house was built in a way for Jesus. So we're moving from something good to something better, the best. But also, there's just a lot of humanity. There's a lot of humanity of the people who saw God's work, but still struggled with it. Like, I think most of us have, maybe not now, as our practice here has allowed us, but for me growing up, I had a tendency to be really judgmental of the people in the Old Testament. Like, how in the world could they see the Red Sea party, the pillar of smoke, the pillar of fire, the Pharaoh's army collapse, and still not believe? Like, I would, of course, I would have believed. Like, I wouldn't have doubted. I wouldn't have had a hard heart towards that. As I have gotten older, that judgment has changed significantly. But still, we see that Jesus really is the best choice. So we can choose, confess, and follow without fear of missing out, without that FOMO. But the temptation to sin is that it offers a better way. Even in the desert, there were things that were being offered to the people as a better way. A better way to be happy, a better way to be fulfilled, a better way to get what we want and need, and get it at less cost. Especially in our society, this is significant. The idea, hey, of course you need that, but let me get it for you cheaper. Right. More salvation, less cost. It's constantly working to undermine our Jesus following by offering seemingly better alternatives. And that is the temptation of sin. The temptation of sin usually is not, hey, go kill somebody. Do something really disastrous. The temptation of sin is usually, let's just get the right thing in another way. Let's just get it on the cheap. Let's just get it on the side. Let's just do it in a different way. And there's a lot of alternatives out there. But the main temptation is it's better somewhere else with someone else at some other. That's the temptation. It's better somewhere else, with someone else, at some other time, in some other way, to call us away from this following of Jesus. And these, you know, it comes up with all these things that honestly feel like slogans in a marketing department. But you know, hey, let's get you what you want, but let's make it cost less. Let's do it more cheaply. Let's do it for cheap. Let's do it on discount. You see this. Let's do it with less effort. Why work so hard? Hey, there's an easier way over here. Got a better deal for you over here. Or maybe it's installment plans. Hey, I can give you all that stuff now. You'll just pay for it later. Like, we'll do it on installment. And again, the temptation of the church here was to go back to Judaism. For us, we have to ask the question, what is it that we would go back to? Like, what is it that we would leave behind? What is it that we would say, you know, it's been great, I've learned a lot, but I've got this offer over here to go back, and it's going to cost me less, it's going to be easier, it's going to be more convenient, it's going to still deliver maybe on these things. What does that mean for us? And I think everybody's answer is personal in this. But I've thought a lot about this for myself as I've prepared this. Y'all, I trust you here. This is going to sound weird in this context. But, and I've told you this before, like, I want to be liked. Like, that's just a big thing with me. I want everybody to be happy, and I want you to like me in that process, right? And my temptation, my going back would be just go along to get along. Just quit pushing. Just quit fighting. And it's not like I'm out there fighting people or things. It's within my own heart. It's within my own study. It's with my own self. It's like the temptation to go back is just to quit. It's just to coast with that. And I don't know what yours is. I think we all have them. I think we all have these things. And I'm not saying there's not a time to quit. I'm closer to that than I am closer to starting, for sure. But in this sense, just, it's go along to get along. Just quit being such a pain in the butt. Just go along. Just don't make waves. Just don't tell people what you really think. Don't tell people what you're really wrestling with. Don't tell people what you really struggle with. Just go along. It seems cheaper. It seems easier to do that. There's other reasons, though, why we slip away from this. One is that we've never known the real thing. One is that we've never really encountered all that Jesus has to offer. We go to church, we say the prayers, we sing the songs, we read the book, but we still, there's something in us that is yet to experience that. And this is where it goes back to what we've talked about here a lot, is this idea of an active gospel imagination, of really fully having our minds informed by this image of the kingdom. I love what C.S. Lewis says. He says, we are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by an offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. So, I don't know. Hey, Levi, what's your favorite video game right now? Legend of Zelda? Got it? All right. Yeah. So, have you ever heard of one called Guitar Hero? Anybody else in here? So, we were talking about how do you illustrate this. We were doing some rearranging and some throwing out stuff, and we found our old, I don't even know what system is that on, the Wii. The old Wii. Pulled out the Guitar Hero stuff, still works. Put it on there. And this was one of my biggest parenting regrets also, was buying this for my kids. Because they loved it. and they would not stop playing it. Like, it was constant in our house for a while. Like, we had to make rules about how to do it. And I always thought, like, how much better would they be at guitar, at a real guitar, if they would put all those hours that they spent playing Guitar Hero into practicing a real guitar. Like, they would have an actual skill. They would have, like, actually something they could do. I kind of think, like, sometimes that's the experience a lot of us have had in church, is that it was more like Guitar Hero church than real guitar church or banjo church, or even better. But, like, we haven't really experienced the real thing. And then often when we do, it's hard. Like, there's a reason why not all of us play guitar, because it takes serious effort and commitment. And to be excellent, you have to have a level of talent. But I believe that anybody can play sufficiently with, you know, practice, right? With that. But we've never really experienced that. We've just experienced the Guitar Hero version. And what happens eventually is you get bored with it. I mean, it does run its course. That was the thing that we saw, is that as crazy and as maddening as it was for a while, it eventually ran its course, and then there was something new. And I think that's what's being warned against here. It's like, look, hold on. Hold on. Know the real thing. Stick with the real thing. Jennifer said, you know, as we were preparing this, that we need something or someone to look to in that thing. And that's what the author here is saying. He's saying, look to Jesus. When you're tempted, and we are all tempted, when you are tired, when you are confused, look to Jesus. There's no better than Jesus. Jesus is the onyx of saviors. Out there. He is the ultimate of that. There is no higher level. Hopefully there's not a higher level. We'd be in trouble. But we don't have to worry about missing out when we do this. And this is one of the things that, you know, I have a lot of conversations with people who have left the church who are, and they use the phrase deconstructing, which I really appreciate. We all need to deconstruct. Deconstruction is a natural process of growth. It's that, but we deconstruct in order to reconstruct. It's the process always of moving from order to disorder to reorder with that. It's just unfortunate. Some people get stuck on the order. That's kind of fundamentalism. You never leave it. It always has to be ordered. A lot of people go through disorder, deconstruction. You take things apart with that. But you can high center there. You can get to that point where it's, because, look, we all know, any of us who've done remodeling, it's a whole lot easier on the teardown phase, right? The teardown phase is almost fun. You're just swinging hammers and busting things. You don't have to matter. It doesn't matter how it looks. You tear it apart. It's the smashing tower. Yes, absolutely. Come on. It's the reconstruction. It's the reorder that takes it. And a lot of people out there, this is where I think FOMO plays in. In a religious sense, in a faith sense, is they're like, I don't want to get it wrong. Because they've imbibed a message that the first time, the first order was wrong. That's why they had to deconstruct or reorder. And they're like, well, what if I do that again? What if I reconstruct the wrong thing? What if I put it all on the wrong thing? You do not have to worry about. And I know that may sound trite, it may sound churchy, it may sound evangelical, whatever, but I believe with all my heart, and I've put all my chips in on the Jesus thing. Now, I believe that opens up a lot of mystery. That doesn't mean it's settled. That's not like playing the the, you know, the trump card in that this wins. It's more like, hey, this is the ticket into more mystery, more things that are going to have to be disordered, more things are going to have to be reordered, more things are going to have to be reordered. But I believe that Jesus is the way, and we do not have to have FOMO when we make that decision. So I'm going to ask the team to come back up. We're following our pattern now of we'll have this time of worship and reflection, and then we'll take communion all together, sing the doxology, and have the benediction with that. Grace Church, Jesus is faithful. Jesus is faithful. So we can confess and choose and follow without fear of missing out. And that's why we extend this offer to others to belong as well, because that's the offer Jesus gives to us. It seems wrong not to pass it on. This practice helps us become more and more like the one we follow and is formed and informed to what we confess and believe. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you for listening to Grace Church of Northwest Arkansas podcast.
If you would like to give, you can go to gracechurchnwa.org/give.
You can find more about us online at gracechurchnwa.org. Grace and peace.